Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to have you with us this morning, and this is a big week coming up. Normally, the first week of September is a big week for many people. Kids are going back to school. People are going back to their normal routines. Some people are starting work again after the summer off. The first week of September is usually a week of great anticipation. But this year is different. I would say this year, as we enter into the first week of September, we're entering into a week of heightened uncertainty. With the pandemic and all that that entails, there's a lot of uncertainty today. And times of uncertainty can shake us up. Times of uncertainty can cause us to question things. Times of uncertainty can even cause us to step back and reflect. That happened to me this last summer. I was having some conversations with church leaders and pastors, and as we talked, something didn't seem right. Something seemed a little out of sync, but I wasn't sure what it was. And then I received an email. And when I read the first couple of lines of the email, the light bulb went on for me. Let me just share the email with you. It was an email I got. It says, "As a pastor, my heart is to reach more people and see the church grow. Earlier this year, I hosted a round of live workshops for pastors about practical church growth called 20 Ways to Grow the Church." And when I read that, I realized what I was feeling uneasy about. I started to think to myself back to those conversations, and I came to this conclusion: it is so easy for churches to have a wrong center. Let me explain what I mean. There's a center that church leaders can give the church. Church leaders sometimes think that the reason the church exists is to grow the church. In other words, the reason the church exists is for the church. And thus, the mission becomes to find strategies for growth. If the center of the church is to grow the church, then the mission is to find strategies to grow the church. Thus, the what and how becomes being program-centric, Sunday-centric, and building-centric. But here's the deal. When you put the church in the center, you get caught up in a competition to see who can get the most people. And it can all become about who can put on the best show or have the best programs to attract the most people. And it can end up seeming like you're competing for market share in the consumer category of religion. There's another center, one that people who go to church often put on the church. And they say the reason the church exists is to meet my needs, to meet the needs of my family and myself. That's why the church exists. Thus, the church's mission is to serve me. The what and how becomes having programs and Sunday services that I want, that serve me, that meet my needs. When people put themselves and their needs at the center, when the mission of the church becomes to serve you and meet your needs, then if you think about it, church just becomes another product to consume. And the church just becomes the purveyor of religious goods and services. I think you can see why both those centers are not healthy. It's not healthy for people to say the reason the church exists is to meet my needs. It's not healthy for church leaders to say the reason the church exists is to grow the church. And when you think about it, both those centers are simply too small of a story for people to give their lives to. And maybe that's why there's such an exodus from the church today. Maybe we've lost what the real center of the church is supposed to be. So let's step back And let's ask, what is the purpose of the church? Why does, let's get specific, SBC exist? What's our center? What's God's purpose for our existence? Well, it's right here on the screen. SBC exists to partner with God on his redemptive, restorative mission of transforming lives and changing cities. I've said to you before, since the whole world is fallen, the whole world needs to be redeemed. Every last person, place, and organization. And the church is called by God to be on a redemptive, restorative mission with him. We're called to partner with God and participate with him in setting all things right in this broken, fallen world. I think the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1, 19 and 20 says it so well when he writes about the scope of God's redemptive work. He says this, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross." God's plan is to reconcile, restore, and renew all things, micro and macro, collective and individual. And the church is called to partner with God on his redemptive, restorative, to see his redemptive, restorative purposes fulfilled. That's the purpose of the church. That's the center. So then the question becomes, how are we going to accomplish our purpose? That's our mission. Our mission tells us how we're going to partner with God on his redemptive, restorative mission. And so how is SBC going to partner with God to accomplish his purpose? Well, we say our mission is this. It's to inspire and equip and challenge people to live 6-8 wherever they find themselves. Notice something here? Our mission isn't holding services. It's not the style of music or good preaching or good programming. Our mission is to create a movement of Christ followers who are partnering with God in his redemptive, restorative mission by living 6-8 wherever they find themselves. Now, if you're listening online today and you're new to Sanage, you may be wondering, what is Live 6-8? Where does Live 6-8 come from? It comes from the Old Testament verse Micah 6-8, where it says, "He has shown you, O mortal, O person, man, woman, child, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good." So here's what God says is good. Here's what God says is required of us. And what does the Lord require of you? Here are the three things: to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. We're seeking to inspire and equip and challenge people to walk humbly with Jesus every day their feet are on planet Earth. We want to see people that are part of Sanage Baptist Church daily surrendering to King Jesus from a posture of humility. We want to see people love mercy, compassionately loving people inside and outside the church, developing Christ's heart of compassion. And let me say, that is needed today more than ever. I don't know if you've been out and around much, but as you get out and around, you notice in this uncertain time, people are frustrated, their fuses are short, and what people need today are examples of people living 6-8, people loving mercy, people having a heart of compassion for other people during this uncertain time. We also want to raise up people who are going to act justly for the poor and the oppressed. People who will become deeply alive in worship. And then the dream is everyone helping someone else live 6-8. Because it's not about just me. It's not about just you. It's about us living 6-8 and then coming alongside and inspiring and equipping and cheering on others to live 6-8. And let me say, I think home churches that we're developing are an unprecedented opportunity to do just that. I'll talk more about that in a minute. But I want you to notice something. Our mission is not dependent on us being program-centric or Sunday-centric or building-centric. Our mission is really dependent on three things. Number one, our willingness to be spiritually formed. Secondly, our individual willingness to live 6-8. And thirdly, our collective willingness to become a movement of people who are partnering with God on His redemptive, restorative mission by living 6-8 wherever we find ourselves. And so you have our purpose, you have our mission, and then after our purpose and our mission, only then does it make sense to define the what and how. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? So our purpose is God's redemptive mission. Our mission, how we're going to accomplish, partner with God on His redemptive mission, is by inspiring and equipping and challenging one another to live 6-8. And then it comes down to the what and how. What do we need to do? What strategies do we need? What methods do we need to help people live 6-8? Because as we use strategies and methods that will help people live 6-8, we will be accomplishing our mission, which will help us partner with God on His redemptive mission. And so, what strategies, what methods, what programs are we going to use as a church to inspire and equip people to live 6-8? It's at this point we talk about our various ministries, our programs, our Sunday services, how we're going to collectively reach out to the community. And so here's the question. The question is, what strategies and methods are we going to use to inspire and equip people to live 6-8 this fall and this winter here at SBC? And again, to remind you, because I presented a little bit of this to you in the spring, we've really broken SBC into four quadrants, if you will, during this COVID time. We've got online services, we've got gather ministries, we've got home church, and we've got serve the city. And as we move into the fall, we're going to continue to use these quadrants to define our ministry, which will hopefully help people live 6-8, which will hopefully help us individually and collectively partner with God and His redemptive, restorative mission. So let's look at each of these quadrants for a few minutes. Let's start with online services, because I get a lot of questions around online services, gatherings, so let me just get it right out there. The leadership has made the decision that we will not be gathering together at our two campuses to worship until 2021. So we have made the decision we will have no live worship gatherings on a Sunday until 2021. Thus, we're going to continue with our live online service on Sunday mornings at 10. It's a service that we're hoping will lead us to worship and focus on Jesus, will help inspire and equip us to live 6-8, and will also allow us to share what God is doing in our midst and beyond. Now, I know not everyone's going to be happy with that decision. There are many voices and many opinions out there. In fact, the other day on one of my social media feeds, I saw this chart, and in the middle of it is pastor. And around it are all these voices speaking to the pastor about the idea of meeting for Sunday worship. Let me just read a few of them to you. Here's one. We need to open the church building. I need to be there and see everyone. What are you waiting for? Another voice. Don't ever open the building again. Home is so much better. Another voice. It's all a big hoax, a conspiracy, a media frenzy. Read this article, this link. Don't be afraid. Another voice, you can't open the church building yet. It's a huge health risk. You are wrong if you do. So you can understand there's a lot of voices speaking into our ears these days. And yet we decided to make the decision we made because we think it's best for the church. Now, I get it. I get the longing to gather. I was recently in Calgary visiting Eric and Rachel and seeing a house they'd bought and moved into in April. And my wife and I were staying in a little Airbnb. And on Sunday morning, I heard singing, and I walked down the alley, and there was this fire door open to this room in this warehouse area. And there was a small group of people gathered in there, and they were singing. And I didn't want to go in because I didn't want to mess up their COVID restrictions and everything. But I stood outside the door longing to be part of that. I get it. I get the longing. I get the sense of loss. I get the frustration. And I know in our city some churches are gathering in small numbers on a Sunday. I get it. But I also know this. Clarity in the midst of uncertainty is the best way forward. Clarity in the midst of uncertainty is the best way forward. And you, the staff, the volunteers, and the rest of the church need some clarity. It's very hard to plan where we're headed without clarity. And so we needed some clarity. And so we decided through the fall and into the rest of 2020, as winter comes upon us, that we will continue to be online only. There's another reason we chose and made that decision. That's this. As a church, we're for our community. We don't want to do something negatively to our community. I was driving out of Calgary, and I was listening to the Calgary News, and the newscaster was really bemoaning the fact that a church in Edmonton had had an outbreak of COVID-19 and what the implications of that were. We don't want to be that church. We want to be for our community. We don't want to do something negative in the community. Also, this local church, like every local church, has limited resources, time, and staff. And so we've had to ask, what is the best uses of our resources during this season? And with the numerical limit, the strict sanitization rules, and other restrictions around singing, social distancing, et cetera, and with Dr. Bonnie Henry saying this last week, as we enter the fall, now is not the time to gather in numbers indoors. Focusing on creating a live service that would be subpar because of the restrictions that only a small percentage of people could attend is not, we feel, the best use of our resources. Thus, this fall, we're really wanting to focus our resources, our time, our energy, our money, our staff, our volunteers, etc., into things that will be most effective in ministering to people both inside and outside the church during this uncertain time. Home church, serve the city initiatives, online gatherings, including our online Sunday service, prayer initiatives, equipping families, small focused ministry gatherings, mentoring projects, and other things. Now you can help us. Before I jump to the next area, you can help us. As we're looking, Kim was talking to me, and we're really looking for creative ways we can engage people and home churches through our Sunday online services. So if you've got creative ideas, I want to encourage you to send an email to office@sanagebaptist.org. We'll make sure Kim gets it because we're looking for ways that we can engage you and help inspire and equip you to take the next steps on your journey with Jesus. Ways that you can better live 6-8. Maybe there's some ways that we can help you in your home worship Jesus through our Sunday services. And so we're looking for your input. And so if you've got some creative ideas, I want to encourage you, send us an email, office@sanagebaptist.org. Okay, let's move on to the next quadrant. The next quadrant is gathered ministries. And gathered ministries refer to those events, those ministries, those programs that SBC has where up to 50 people could be gathered online or in person. Here are just a few gathered ministry highlights from the fall. Youth ministry is going to be starting up September 16th Wednesday night here at WRC. Steve's making sure we have all the social distancing and everything else that's required, but want to encourage you, parents and teenagers, youth ministry starting up Wednesday, September 16th. We've got some online and in-building classes happening, pub theology, a finance course is coming up. It's going to be good. We want you to journey and learn, and so we got some online and in-person courses happening. Our young adults ministry is trying to create home churches for young adults and other events, and if you're a young adult and you're interested in being in a home church, again, send an email to office@sanagebaptist.org. We'll make sure Christina gets it and gets in contact with you. Our prayer ministry, Kim is overseeing our prayer ministry and is doing a couple of great things. Every second Wednesday, Kim is online teaching about prayer. She calls it Working It Out Wednesday. No, it's not aerobics. It's about prayer. And it's Working It Out Wednesdays. And you can check it out on Facebook or Instagram. Check out our feeds. And there's some great teaching that Kim's doing there. She's also going to create small prayer gatherings. And the first one is going to be on September 22nd at Centennial Park. And so she'll be giving you more information about that in the days to come. Our children and our family ministry is so important to us. And we know, parents, that you're wanting to spiritually form your children, and maybe during this uncertain time with all the stresses of school and everything else, you're not sure how to go about that. Well, Shyla and Christine are going to help you. Shyla and Christine are putting together some ideas to help parents give spiritual formation to their children. In other words, inspire and equip their children to live 6-8. They're going to be creating some devotional videos and some other resources that will help parents and families grow together and take their next steps on their spiritual journey with Jesus. Retirees and friends, we're looking at having some small brown bag lunch gatherings over the fall. Also, there's our AGM. You may be wondering, what happened to our AGM? We usually have an AGM in June. Because of all the uncertainty, we had to move it to the fall. But we have an AGM coming up. It's going to be different this year. We're going to do 2 town hall Zoom meetings. You don't have to attend one, but if you're a member of Sanage Baptist Church, I'd really encourage you to attend one either on the 6th or the 7th. We'll be giving you more information. There'll be evening Zoom meetings, town halls, where we'll be presenting, engaging, asking questions, getting answers, all that. And then we're going to have an online vote on October the 8th. But we're going to use SurveyMonkey. We're allowed to do this. And we'll be voting on the budget and other things through SurveyMonkey on an online vote on October the 8th. And so we haven't forgot about our AGM. It's coming up, and we'll give you a lot more information in the weeks to come. All right, where are we at? Let's go to the next one. Serve the City Initiatives. Serve the City Initiatives are those activities where we reach out beyond our walls and we minister to people in the name of Jesus. And we got a couple of great ones right at the top here. Living Edge Market continues Thursday night out at our CPC campus. It has been a blessing to many, many people during this COVID time. We also have Cobb's Bread on Friday night, where we take the leftovers from Cobb's Bread and we distribute them to people in need. And both these ministries are going great guns. They're meeting needs, they're blessing people, but we need some volunteers. And so if you're interested in volunteering at Living Edge Market or Cobb's Bread, again, send an email to office@sanagebaptist.org and Rick will be in contact with you. We also have what I've called Serve the City Editions. We had Serve the City Pack the School Edition. 175 packs went out for kids, 31 pairs of shoes. Thank you, church. Thank you, Colwood Church, for partnering with us. What a blessing around the city for families in need. We've got the Parks Edition going on where we're encouraging home churches and other groups to go clean parks. And we've got some groups already engaging in that. And of course, in a couple of months, we'll have Serve the City Christmas Edition. And we'll be working on how to do that this year, which might be a little different. But we're excited to see how we can bless people with Serve the City Christmas Edition. Car care for single moms is going to be happening this fall. We're excited to partner with 1UP Resource Center and be able to do oil changes and some minor repairs to cars for single parents who really need it. Adopt your block. Listen, if you're not adopting your block during this time, this is the time, church, for us to rise up and reach out and care for the people around us, our neighbors, and just adopt our block and care for people and let them care for you and build relationships. This is probably an unprecedented time for us to adopt your block. Rick's going to be giving you some more resources as we go into the fall, but I want to encourage you to adopt your block. It's a blessing, actually, when you do it. I could tell you lots of stories about it, but just adopt your block. And then we are seeking to partner in greater ways with the One Up Resource Center. The One Up Resource Center is a nonprofit here in town that works with single parents and their children, and we've engaged them with Pack to School and some other activities, and we're going to look for ways to have greater engagement with them in the weeks and months ahead. One other area under Serve the City is Victoria Dream Center. Some of you are wondering what has happened to our Victoria Dream Center initiative. Well, it was going great guns, and then COVID hit. And like so much else, it kind of got put on the back burner. But we are starting this fall to re-engage Victoria Dream Center. We were talking yesterday about creating some learning opportunities together. They may be online, they may be in person. We're working all that out. But we want to give those interested in First Nations issues a chance to learn together again this fall. We're going to be talking with First Nations leaders about issues they're facing and how we as a church might be able to walk alongside with them. Also, I'd say this, if you're involved in some kind of First Nations work, or maybe you're doing ministry with First Nations people, or maybe you're involved with foster care with First Nations children, if you're involved in some way working with First Nations people, we'd love to hear from you. We want to create a resource or a list of people that are doing that in our church. So again, you know the email by now, office@sanagebaptist.org, and we're looking forward to what's going to happen this fall as we seek together to serve the city. All right, one last piece of the puzzle. I know I'm kind of hitting you with a fire hose this morning, but I'm getting it all out as I go here. And it's this. The last piece of the puzzle is home church. Home church is the body of Christ in ordinary homes. And we want to, this fall, continue to inspire and equip and challenge one another to live 6-8 through our Acts 2 home churches. In Acts 2, 42 and 45, it says this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. The early church gathered in large groups in places like Solomon's Temple Colonnade. And again, we anticipate doing that in 2021. But the early church also gathered in homes, usually with groups around 10 to 15. And they met, you know what, you can see right here what they met to do. They met to learn from the apostles, for fellowship, to pray together, to break bread together, to meet needs internally and externally. And similarly, when you join an SBC home church, you're going to learn with others. You're going to watch the service together, and after the service, you're going to have a time of discussion saying, how does that apply to my life this week? You're also going to experience fellowship together. You'll enjoy time together. If COVID's taught us anything, it's that we need human connection. Home churches allow that. You may even want to eat a meal together. And then you're going to pray together. And you may break bread together, share communion together. And you'll seek to meet needs together. Needs not only within your group, but maybe needs in your neighborhood or needs beyond the church. We want to be radically caring for people during this time, both people in our church and people outside our church. And so this is what a home church is about. It's about gathering together in a home, watching the service, discussing, enjoying time together, being together, praying, maybe having a meal if you're comfortable, breaking bread, meeting needs. And here at SBC, we want to see Acts 2 home churches rise up all over this region. My wife and I are blessed. If you saw the video yesterday, you know I was talking about this, but my wife and I are blessed to be part of two home churches. We have a home church Sunday morning, and then we have a home church Thursday night with some young adults. And it is a real joy, a real blessing to be part of these home churches. We've been having some amazing discussions. We've been able to pray for one another and just enjoy being together. I want to encourage you to become part of a home church. Currently, we have about 150 people here at Saanich in home churches. That means we have a lot of people who are not yet engaged in our home church movement. If you want to get involved in a home church, here's how you can do it. Number one, contact the office at office@saanichbaptist.org. If you don't remember anything from the sermon, you're going to remember the email address, office@saanichbaptist.org. Also, I want to encourage you maybe to sign up for a watch party. A watch party is going to be an on-ramp to home churches. They're going to be happening here at WRC. They're also going to be happening at CPC, our other campus. And also, we're looking at doing one on Zoom. And so, Lindsay and Christina will be sharing more about that in coming weeks. But if you want to get into a home church right now, email the office. If you're wondering about it, a watch party as an on-ramp is going to be a great way to go. More information coming next Sunday. Now, here's what I want to say as I conclude. I love how the people responded to the early church. Look at Acts 2, verse 46 and 47. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying, look at this, this is so good, the favor of what? All the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I love that. They were living out what God had called them to do. And as they lived that out, they experienced the favor of all the people. And people were attracted to Jesus and his church. And the Lord was adding to their number daily those that were being saved. Church, that's our DNA. I want to say to you, as we enter the fall of 2020, God is up to something. We are blessed to live in a profoundly interesting and uncertain time. Let's see fall of 2020 as an amazing opportunity, not an overwhelming obstacle. I can tell you this, the church is not only going to survive, I believe in this season, the church of Jesus Christ can thrive. This is a time for the church to rise up and be the church. This is a time for the church to walk humbly with Jesus. This is a time for the church to be out all over the city and beyond, loving mercy with a compassionate heart of Jesus, going out and caring for those in need and just those we meet every day. People are longing to experience compassion and mercy and encouragement in these days. And we, church, have the ability to do that because the Holy Spirit is inside of us, empowering us with Christ's love and compassion. This is a time for the church to rise up and act justly for the poor and the oppressed. And even though we can't gather together in this room, this is a time for the church all over the city and homes and other places to be deeply engaged in worshiping Jesus. Let's live this fall and winter in such a way that for years to come, we'll have stories to tell our children and our grandchildren, even our great-grandchildren, about what God did in the fall of 2020. Let's join him on his incredible, restorative, redemptive mission. Let's join him by committing together to live 6-8, to walk humbly, love mercy, and act justly. And as we do that, we are going to see God move in incredible ways this fall. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Father, I know I gave out a lot of information. But Father, I pray more than anything, what we'll take away from this time together this morning is that the center has to be right. And your purpose for us is to join you on a restorative, redemptive mission of setting all things right. And we see our mission, our part of that is living 6-8. Collectively and individually, walking humbly with you and listening to you and knowing your empowering presence in our lives. It's us loving mercy to the depths of our being, loving others with your love. It's us acting justly for the poor and the oppressed in our city and beyond. It's us standing back and seeing what you're doing and being amazed and worshiping you with everything we have. God, these are uncertain times, but you're a certain God. And God, I just pray as we journey into this fall together, we will journey in such a way that truly you will work and truly we will have stories to tell. Stories we'll tell for years to come. Not about us, not about what we did, but about our amazing, great God. In Jesus' name, amen.